The entry hall. Outdoors in front of the Echo Museum. Welcome to the Echo Museum of Cherry Country, and to 150 years of the history of the techniques and traditions involved in the production of kirsch. The fact is that the land here is simply good for cherry trees. As early as the end of the 17th century, the fruit was distilled by the farmers of Fougerolles. A simple agricultural activity in the beginning, this skill progressively became a veritable industry in the middle of the 19th century. By the early 20th century, Fougerolles counted about 40 industrial distilleries, exporting local brandies, also called eau de vie, by the trainload throughout France. At the same time, other economic sectors such as basketry, barrel making, and printing all benefited from this economic dynamism. Today, a few industrial distilleries and numerous small producers still contribute to the renown of Fougerolles. In 2010, their efforts were rewarded and the reputation of their expertise was enhanced when they received the quality label Kirsch de Fougerolles. Press your pause button, leave the reception hall, and follow along the wall. Stop in front of the manor house. In front of the house. We are now in front of one of the first distilleries of Fougerolles. As you can read above the door, this house of Vosges sandstone was built in 1829 by Del-Joseph Aubry, a local farmer and distiller. The architectural style of the façade shows a mixture of influences. The house's bourgeois balcony recalls the charrie, a sort of grange entrance incorporated into the building and typical of farmhouses on the western side of the Vosges Mountains. Here, everything is bigger, more ample than in a traditional farmhouse. Press the pause button and enter the house. Go into the kitchen, the first room on your right. The kitchen. Here we are in the kitchen. The kitchen was once the main room of the house, since it was heated all day long by a great fireplace and its hearth. This kitchen is furnished in the typical regional style. A bread kneading table, a dish cupboard with regional tiles, a comptoir clock. The chronology in the frieze recalls the history of the domain. Founded and exploited by the Aubry family, the orchards and distillery were auctioned off in 1888 after Joseph Victor, the founder's grandson, had squandered the family fortune. The domain was bought by a couple named Ougier, but the new owners did not stay long since they preferred another distillery closer to the train station, then the nerve center of the community. They therefore sold the property in 1901 to the Simon family, who ran the distillery until 1978 when it finally closed. Thus the domain became a place for the safeguard of local heritage. Press the pause button and go on to the office in the next room. The dining room. We are now in the dining room, also nicely warmed by the kitchen fireplace. In these display cases are exposed several artifacts reflecting two different lifestyles. Some are very simple, from the world of the peasantry, in contrast with the more luxurious items coming from the local bourgeoisie, a bourgeoisie which had itself originated among the peasantry and had enriched itself in the distillery business. On the far wall you can read the inventory taken after the death of Del-Joseph Aubry in 1840 and the proceedings of the 1888 auction sale of the domain's furnishings. Take the time to compare the growth of the Aubry family fortune in under 50 years, thanks to the production of brandy. Press the pause button and go on to the office in the next room. The office. It was here, in this office, that the affairs of the distillery were managed. The opening of the train station in 1881 reinforced the production of the distilleries, which, by means of the railways, could then ship great quantities throughout France and at a lower cost. The local economy prospered, supported by the high level of alcohol consumption of the French. Throughout the 19th century, alcohol consumption continued to rise, as you can read on the wall above the fireplace. Take note that in 1898, consumption was no less than 35 liters, at 50 degrees, per inhabitant, per year, women and children included. The reasons for such an increase are many. To begin with, alcohol consumption goes along with the increase in the number of cafes, cabaret, and other points of sale in the same era. In addition, the Industrial Revolution was in full swing. Mechanized production resulted in greater quantities at a lesser cost. Brandies could be easily shipped by rail. And social factors cannot be forgotten. People drank in order to forget the harsh times, the exhausting work. As early as the 19th century, voices were heard denouncing the dangers inherent in such high alcohol consumption. Émile Zola, for example, in his novel L'Assommoir, in 1876, described the ravages caused by misery and alcoholism. Press the pause button and leave the office by the small door next to the fireplace. Go past the small corridor and into the storeroom. The storage room. Here we are in the storage room. The alcohols destined for rapid sale were once stored in barrels made of oak or ash. If you look closely, you will see systematically inscribed on the barrels the contents in hectoliters, the height of the barrel, and the name of the alcohol. To guarantee the clarity of the eau de vie, the interior of the barrels had to be coated with paraffin. Despite the risks involved in inhaling alcohol vapors, this job was often entrusted to children whose small size enabled them to crawl into the barrels. In addition to the barrels, the different machines and tools presented here give us a look into the various conditioning operations: filtering and alcohol regulation, bottling, and labeling. Press the pause button. Go up the stairs opposite the front door and go into the first room on your left. Bedroom 1. We are now in one of the bedrooms. Alcohol is not a culturally innocent substance. It has a ritual and social function when consumed on the occasions of births, christenings, weddings, and deaths. Thus, in Fougerolles, at the birth of a child, a few bottles of brandy were always put away and kept to be drunk at the child's communion or wedding. In the display case are presented various objects related to the high points in the social and religious life of the era: a christening dress and bonnet, a young girl's communion headpiece, a communion robe, a ceremonial baton used by young conscripts. The robe on display here is a wedding dress from the beginning of the 20th century. With its black color, the bride could wear it on various occasions throughout her life. The waist was adjusted by means of a system of shirrings. Look closely and you will notice the delicate embroidery on the skirt and the cherry designs on the plastron. In the room next to the bedchamber, you can admire a superb absinthe service. Water, flowing from the fountain's tap, melted the sugar that was placed on a pierced spoon balanced on the glass. Thus, the sweetened water was diluted in the anise-flavored alcohol. Absinthe was in fashion in France as early as the 1850s. Using their know-how, the distillers of Fougerolles quickly invested in its production, and some ended up selling much more absinthe than kirsch. Judged to be dangerous, absinthe was outlawed in 1915, which contributed to the decline of the local distilleries. Today, absinthe is again legal and has now been produced in Fougerolles since 2002. Press the pause button and leave the bedroom. We'll meet in the hallway known as the Hallway of Flavors. The Hallway of Flavors. Celery, verbena, anise, blackcurrant, fennel. Many are the ingredients useful in the production of distilled alcohols. Did you know that brandy has long been used as a medicine? Also, until the 16th century, distillation was a skill mastered only by apothecaries and doctors. Press the pause button and go into the second bedchamber, to the left at the end of the Hallway of Flavors. Bedroom 2. Here we are in another of the bedrooms. To sell their products, the distillers had to adopt new commercial techniques. Thus, it was purely for commercial reasons at the beginning of the 19th century that the alcohol called cherry water was renamed Kirsch. This more prestigious sounding name came from the German Kirschwasser. Thanks to these commercial strategies, the Fougerolles brandies were to gain a wide notoriety in France. Notice the Swiss cross on the bottle on the poster in the back of the room. It subtly reminds the consumer of the taste of the outlawed absinthe when they buy the anise-flavored Perrier. Press the pause button and go out through the hallway to continue your visit. Take the stairway up to the attic. The attic. The Kirsch was stored in the attic while it aged. In contrast to most wines, with Kirsch it is the differences in temperature which reveal the subtlety. The bottles, known as carboys or demijohns, were not closed at first in order to allow the vapors to escape. These lost vapors were called the angel's share. After a few months, the carboys were finally corked, and the Kirsch could at last improve over the long years it spent in the attic. Press the pause button and go back to the mezzanine by way of the passage on the right at the far end of the attic. The mezzanine. The impressive roof beams and framework that you can admire here are made of oak and fir. They once supported a roof made of flat sandstone pieces, which exerted heavy pressure, an average of 300 kilograms per square meter. Here you can watch two short films which present the skills of basketry and barrel making, activities closely related to the production of brandy. Press the pause button and go down the walkways to continue your visit. We'll meet again in the green and gray room. Decline and Future. You are now in a room called Decline and Future. In gray, we evoke the long decline of distilling. In the 20th century, the distilleries closed one after the other. The number of cherry trees fell, and the French drank less and less brandy. In green, we see the future. A quality label, Kirsch de Fougerolles, had long been hoped for so as to encourage brandy production. And after many long years of work, in the spring of 2010, the bottlers and distillers were finally successful. The Kirsch de Fougerolles label perhaps covers only a small territory in France, but it proves that our ambition here is for quality and excellence. In this room you can admire an array of local products, cherry Kirsch and other brandies, and also the vodka of Fougerolles. Press the pause button and go out the door on the far side of the room and go down the stairs. There you will find the room we call the farm room. The farm room. Fougerolles has known a dual vocation. Industrial, with the presence of numerous distilleries dotting the landscape, but also agricultural, as can be seen by the many tools on display here. In the past, the distillery workers were, by and large, also farmers. Press the pause button and continue your visit. Go down the main stairway and stop in front of the windows to face the orchard conservatory. A new room. Here we are in a new room devoted to the cherry, with a beautiful view onto our orchard conservatory. The Béchat, the Tinette, the Marie-Jean Diode, the Chapendu, these are just a few of the names of the Fougerolles cherries whose colors vary from bright red to a rich black. All these cherries are known as guigne, from the grafted wild cherry tree. Very sweet, they are mainly used to make kirsch. Their delicate aroma is also highly appreciated for clafoutis, tarts, and other desserts. The Ecomuseum's Orchard Conservatory preserves to this day around 40 varieties of local guigne, some of which, the Sacristain, for example, are disappearing. In the past, the cherries were picked by hand. To pick the fruit, you had to carry a basket by means of a shoulder strap called a charmotte and stand on a type of ladder typical to the region and known as a pied de chèvre or a goat's foot. Its rungs were fixed to a single rail. Harvesting cherries by hand required a lot of labor for only a very low yield. Since 1973, the trees have been shaken and the fruit has been harvested mechanically. Standing apart from the orchard, there is a strange little house called Le Chalot. Built with no nails or screws, it can be entirely dismantled. It, too, is made of wood and roofed with sandstone. It is a veritable coffer in which the family's grain and riches were kept. It was traditionally placed away from the farmhouse so as to preserve it from fires. Here you can take time to watch a few films that we have to offer. Films about cherries. You can also sit on the couches, enjoy the view, and listen to a few songs. Then press the pause button and continue your visit. We will meet at the far end of the room, in front of the diagram that explains the distillation process. In front of the diagram. Here you are standing in front of a diagram that explains the techniques of distillation. The fruit produced in Fougerolles was either distilled on the farms or taken to industrial distilleries. The cherries are crushed with the stone left intact. The fruit is then conditioned in tanks open to the air for fermentation. Fermentation begins after a few days. The yeasts found on the fruit skins or in the air transform the sugar into alcohol. After about 5 weeks, the fermentation is finished and the tanks are hermetically sealed. Then, and for the next year, comes the distillation. This is the extraction of alcohols from the fermented matter. It takes about 10 kilograms of cherries for 1 liter of kirsch at 50 degrees. By means of a copper still placed over an open fire or steam bath, the fermented fruit is slowly heated. The alcohol vapors rise into the head of the still, pass into a tube called a swan's neck, and then descend through a serpentine immersed in a tank of cold water. Condensation takes place and the alcohol flows. It is divided into 3 parts. The soles, from 80 to 70 degrees. This alcohol is unfit for consumption, since it contains methanol and copper oxides. The heart, from 70 to 48 degrees. The heart is also called le bon goût, or the good taste. This is the kirsch that will be stored in carboys or in stainless steel tanks to be aged before being sold. In Fougerolles, in contrast to other regions, the heart is distilled only once. The remaining third part of the alcohol is called les petites eaux, or the small waters, and ranges from 48 to 10 degrees. This alcohol is murky and without much taste. press the pause button and go along the glass corridor on your left. The distilling rooms, 1 and 2. The next two rooms contain a wide variety of stills. Those in the first room are the most recent. They were in operation here at the time of the Simon Family Distillery. The other stills, those on display in the former storage room for fermentation barrels, are the oldest. In spite of this diversity of forms, the still's role remains the same: to extract the flavorful alcohol from the fermented fruit, to separate the pure from the impure through fire. The art of the distiller is to master this delicate alchemy and to extract an alcohol with a divine fragrance. Your visit has now come to an end. We thank you for your attention and invite you to return to the reception hall. We suggest that, before leaving, you take a few minutes, weather permitting, for a stroll in the orchard. Depending on the season, and if you so desire, you may be able to taste a few cherries.